just one horrible thing after another. And when the dust had finally settled, I went and sat down with my very, very good friend, mentor, advisor, guide, a man named Bill Colby, who you folk may remember. Bill Colby used to be the head of the Central Intelligence Agency, and he was the man I worked directly for in Vietnam. Officially, he was ambassador over there at the time, but in fact, he really was head of the CIA then, at least in Vietnam, for the Vietnam operations during the war. But anyway, I sat down with Bill, and make a long story short, Bill basically told me to get away from all this, that it was so much bigger and so much more deadly and dangerous, and where it led and what it involved than anything I ever imagined. And that if I stuck around trying to do something about it, I'd get myself and my family probably killed or worse. And I said, well, what can I do? I can't just walk away. He said, I'll tell you what. The only way, really, on these kind of things, because of where it goes and what it involves, the only way you can probably both protect yourself and try to do something about it may not be in the manner you want, but it's the manner it's going to have to be done eventually. You're going to have to get the national press involved in exposing these things. Get it so reported and so looked into that it can't be covered up, because the forces you're against are just too big and too powerful for you to do them in the time you want or the way you want. And if you keep it up, you're going to end up dead. So I went home, wrote the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, which pretty well details the story from A to Z. And that was my beginning of involvement in, let's say, criticizing some elements of government and asking for some reform and trying to point out through very clear documentation some of these problems and why how dangerous it is if we get institutions of government corrupted. As a result of that book, and this has taken a long time to get to a simple answer to a simple question, as a result of that book, received some calls and some attention from some groups around the country that read the book. I did not spend a penny, by the way, advertising the book, but it sold over 50,000 copies. As a result of that book, I got contacted, for example, by some group called the Militia of Montana here a few years ago. And when I heard what was going on with them, I agreed to look into it. I thought, a bunch of nuts here that rabble-rousing, but...
John?
Yeah?
Arizona Line 4, she's looking for...
You have to understand the character of a Bill Colby. Now, Bill Colby was raised as a Catholic, super strict. His entire life was rigidly following rules. He was truly this country's greatest spy master, but he also had some pretty strict rules. He saw the war he had conducted, the Cold War, as just as significant as World War II or World War I, maybe even more significant, because the things were beneath the surface most of the time as to what was occurring. It was a war conducted by the CIA and the intelligence community, and during that process, a lot of things developed and were allowed to develop necessarily, at least they thought they were necessary, that are kind of incompatible or don't work good with a free and open society. You know, covert operations and doing this. And Bill was smart enough to realize that itself was a very danger, creating this system where you had almost a secret government, which he acknowledged had effectively occurred, I think would be a fair statement. And therefore, I think he felt a certain duty to be one of those who, since he was so intimately involved in that creation, also the correcting of it and making sure there were, quote, constitutional safeguards and political safeguards and popular safeguards against the existence and creation and control by a secret system or set of governments there. And one of the things, the primary thing Bill was doing the last years of his life, in fact, I was with him literally 2 weeks before his alleged falling out of a canoe and dying. I was with him 2 weeks, and we had a very good chat. It was it was just after his 75th birthday, and he was in the best health. He had completed a physical and was in the best health ever. And I asked him, I said, Bill, what would you say would be the happiest 5 years of your life if you were going to pick a period in history, 5 years, maybe back during World War II when you were leading the secret attempts to get into Germany or ahead of the CIA or what? He said, I'll tell you what, John. He said, the last 5 years, of the next 5 years. And I said, wait a minute, why? Because I'm really doing what I enjoy now, and even more than that, what I think can really make a difference in the world. Remember, this is the man that was over there with Yeltsin when they were having the collapse of the Russian Empire and the coup or push or pooch or whatever you call them. He was with Yeltsin, believe it or not, right when this was occurring, you know, in Russia here a few years ago. Well, anyway, Bill's, what he was doing now was traveling all over the world, meeting with world leaders and top business leaders from around the world, and giving his analysis of where we were in the world and where they were and how the pieces were fitting together. He was the best individual there was when it came to looking out and seeing the road of the future, what's happening, how the pieces are going to fit into place. And that's what he enjoyed, traveling all over the world, meeting with these people, giving them some direction and input based on a lifetime of knowing what's going on both behind the scenes and under the covers and on top of the covers, and how the two sometimes fit and how they don't fit. So he was in absolutely the best shape he'd ever been, the best mood he'd ever been, and that's what he was planning to do and had been doing. And so he said the last 5 years and the next 5 years. So here I'm listening to the radio and television a couple weeks later, and supposedly he's violated every single rule that he followed all his life. In other words, walking out at night, canoeing, which he didn't particularly enjoy, leaving his food on the table, television and computers on. Come on, the man never had a hair out of place. If anybody followed his character, I mean, so when they tell me that he goes out under these conditions, falls out of his canoe, then drowns and can't be found for 10 days, and then 10 days or whatever it is later, they find him in exactly the spot they've searched 1,000 times, but he wasn't found there. I say, uh-huh, right. And then I say exactly what Bill always used to say, if it's done right, you'll never know who did it or why. And in this case, I, in my own mind, absolutely do not believe the man went out, fell out of his canoe, and drowned. And I believe that for whatever reason, he was a thorn in somebody's side, and he had to be shut up, and that's what occurred.